Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Like I mentioned, it is Horton the Elephant Week, and this morning we get to Horton Hatches an Egg. And I want to read you the very beginning of Horton Hatches the Egg and the end. I won't read the whole thing because I'm sure you want to be out before noon to get off to celebrations and everything else. And so here we begin. Sighed Maisie, a lazy bird hatching an egg. I'm tired and I'm bored and I've kinks in my leg from sitting here day after day. It's work, how I hate it. I'd much rather play. I'd take a vacation or fly off for a rest if I could find someone to stay on my nest. If I could find someone, I'd fly away free. Then Horton the elephant passed by her tree. Hello, called the lazy bird, smiling her best. You've nothing to do and I do need a rest. Would you like to sit on my egg in my nest? The elephant laughed. Why, of all silly things, I haven't feathers and I haven't wings. Me on your egg? Why, that doesn't make sense. Your egg is so small, ma'am, and I am so immense. Tut, tut, answered Maisie. I know you're not small, but I'm sure you can do it, no trouble at all. Just sit on it softly. You're gentle and kind. Come be a good fellow. I know you won't mind. I can't, said the elephant. Please, begged the bird. I won't be gone long, sir. I give you my word. I'll hurry right back. Why, I'll never be missed. Very well, said the elephant, since you insist. You want a vacation, go fly off and take it. I'll sit on your egg and I'll try not to break it. I'll stay and be faithful. I mean what I say. Toodaloo, sang out Maisie and fluttered away. The first thing to do, muttered Horton, let's see. The first thing to do is prop up this tree and make it much stronger. That has to be done. Before I get on it, I must weigh a ton. Then carefully, tenderly, gently he crept up the trunk to the nest where the little egg sat. I wish you guys could see it. It's a teeny tiny little tree and a big old elephant on top. Then Horton the elephant smiled, now that's that. And he sat, and he sat, and he sat, and he sat. And he sat all that day, and he kept the egg warm. And he sat all that night through a terrible storm. It poured and it lightened, it thundered, it rumbled. This isn't much fun, the poor elephant grumbled. I wish she'd come back, because I'm cold and I'm wet. I hope that Maisie bird doesn't forget. But Maisie was on vacation in Palm Beach, Florida. So Horton kept sitting there day after day, and soon it was autumn, the leaves blew away. And then came the winter, the snow and the sleet, and icicles hung from his trunk and his feet. But Horton kept sitting and said with a sneeze, I'll stay on this egg and I won't let it freeze. I meant what I said and I said what I meant. An elephant's faithful 100%. And so there Horton sat on this tree. He sat and he sat, and the winter came, and then the spring emerges, and his friends start to come out of their hiding spots from winter, and here they see this immense elephant on this tree guarding this egg, and they begin to tease him and question him and tell him to get off of that egg. Horton, what are you doing? But Horton faces each one of them and says to them all, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant. An elephant is faithful 100%. And so he faces all the criticism, and then one day, three hunters come hunting in his jungle he's in. And here they see the elephant, and he sees them coming. And does he get off the egg and run to protect himself? But no, Horton puffs out his chest, and he's willing to take that bullet for that egg. Well, these hunters pointing their guns at that elephant notice that elephant's sitting in that tree, and they think maybe there's a better idea than shooting this elephant. We think we can make some money off of it. And so they dig up that tree and they put it on a trolley, and from the trolley they put him on a boat and they send him to New York City where they sell him to the circus. And so Horton the elephant, perched on his nest in his little tree, goes on tour with the circus all around the East Coast until he finally comes to Palm Beach, Florida. And when he gets there, and she, Maisie, swooped from the clouds through an open tent door. "Good gracious," gasped Maisie. "I've seen you before." Poor Horton looked up with a face white as chalk. He started to speak, but before he could talk, there rang out the noisiest, ear-splitting squeaks from the egg that he'd sat on for 51 weeks. A thumping, a bumping, a wild, alive scratching. "My egg," shouted Horton. "My egg, why it's hatching." "But it's mine," screamed the bird when she heard the egg crack. The work's all done, now she wanted it back. "It's my egg," she sputtered. "You stole it from me. Get off my nest and get out of my tree." Poor Horton backed down with a sad, heavy heart. But at that very instant, the egg burst apart. And out of the pieces of red and white shell, from the egg that he'd sat on so long and so well, Horton the elephant saw something whiz. It had ears and a tail and a trunk just like his. And the people came shouting, "What's all this about?" They looked and they stared with their eyes popping out. Then they cheered and they cheered and they cheered more and more. They'd never seen anything like it before. "My goodness, my gracious," they shouted, "my word. It's something brand new. It's an elephant bird. And it should be, it should be, it should be like that." Because Horton was faithful. He sat and he sat. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And they sent him home happy 100%. Horton hatches the egg. What a great story for what brings us here today. It's Mother's Day, and so we can think of Horton as that mother sitting on that egg, but I want to think about a slightly different idea about that Horton. I look at that Maisie bird at the beginning, and I think, wow, that Maisie is so much like the world, isn't she? The world so often looks at things, and when things get tough and the road looks long, they just want to throw up their hands and give up, right? I mean, that's the easiest thing to do. "I don't know that I have what it takes. I quit and I let somebody else do it." It's just easier that way. It's so much easier so often in the world to think of me first and let somebody else take the pain and the difficulty and the hard work, and especially that Maisie at the end. "Okay, now that the work's done, I want the credit, right? I want the praise, I want the glory, I want the prize." But then we have Horton. Then we have Horton. And what do I see in Horton? But I see none other than Jesus Christ. I see Jesus Christ and God saying the world's got issues. That world, those people that I've created and I love so much, they just can't take care of themselves. They need someone to step in and do the big job. And so God sent Jesus in. He put him in human form. And God in human form can be as silly seeming as an elephant perched on an egg in a tree. Why would God, the Father Almighty, creator of all, that just cannot be contained into physical objects, come into this world as a crying, helpless baby? I mean, it seems almost ridiculous in so many ways. There are so many other gods in this world, Greek gods, Roman gods, Buddhist gods, you name it. Not a single other god that has people faithful ever came in human form. No other god or divine being, real or not, ever came physically on this earth to walk upon it, but our God did because of the unconditional love he had for us. And so here Jesus came, born into this world through Mother Mary, and here he comes sitting and sitting and sitting and sitting. And when his ministry comes, it's like when spring emerged on Horton. Because what happens? But he faces the difficult times right off the bat. He goes into that desert after his baptism, and what happens? But temptation. It says Satan, the tempter, comes in and laughs at him, almost like those friends laughing at Horton. You're hungry, feed yourself. Create bread out of a rock. Do whatever you have to take care of yourself. You're God, you have all power and capability. Take it right here and now. But Jesus looks at him and he says, I meant what I said and I said what I meant. A savior is faithful 100%. And he resisted temptation for us and he kept on moving. And he gathered those disciples and here he starts going with preaching and miracles, turning water into wine. And they started to tease him. He can't be the savior. He can't be God. He must be Beelzebub. He must be Satan. He must be from another world. He can't be good. And they laughed at him. And he just came back. I meant what I said, and I said what I meant, and a savior is faithful 100%. And he kept enduring the pains of this world. He began to heal people. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He preached a new gospel, new good news that said love over law. And God wants to love you. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Zealots, they couldn't take it. And they threatened his life. And they tried to arrest him. And they tried to trick him. They tried to push on him with every power that he had. But did he resist? No. He just looked at them and said, I meant what I said, and I said what I meant, and a savior is faithful 100%. And he kept going. He kept going through the Last Supper, and he kept going right to the garden where his heart got so heavy and the pressure felt so much that it says that he was crying, tears and sweat and blood. He was feeling it so bad. Telling God, if you can take this cup from me, let it pass. That's how much it hurt him. But in the end, when those guards came and he had that opportunity to run, when Peter cut off the ear of the guard, Jesus looked at them all and he said, I meant what I said and I said what I meant. And a savior is faithful 100%. And he endured right through the mockery of a trial. And went right onto that cross and into the tomb. And why did he do it? Because he meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And a savior is faithful 100%. God in Isaiah, he said that the suffering servant would come, that he would be mocked and scorned, he'd be beaten and whipped. He would die as the sacrifice for all. And Christ did just that because God meant what he said in the promise to take care of us. But what does that mean for us? Where are we in that story? We can be Maisie. We can be the ones that feel the pressure of the world, that see the long roads, that feel the pain, that feel the laughter. And we can throw our hands up and fly off to Palm Beach and say a vacation is so much easier. Or we can be Horton. We can be a Horton in this world that takes on the tasks that God gives us and be faithful 100%. But God knew it wouldn't be easy. God knew it wouldn't be easy. God knew it when he put Peter into the job that he put Peter. When he told Peter, you're going to be the rock that I'm going to build my church on. And Peter began to build that church, and then he saw that church being persecuted. He saw that church being arrested and tried. He saw everything coming at it, and Peter, the foolish one that spoke before he thought, the one that sunk when faith in the storm, the one that cut off the ear and denied Christ and did all of that, became the rock. And his letters that we have in our Bible are letters of encouragement. Here in 1 Peter, he's writing to the persecuted church. He's writing to those who found Christ and are following and are trying to believe, but everything is pushing back on them and saying, you can't. You follow this Christ and we'll take your life just like we took his. And Peter's trying to tell them, be faithful 100%. Here in this letter, he's writing to them in this passage that we get to, and he's admitting it's going to be hard. And if you look at this part of the letter and you see in verse 18 who he's writing to those in slavery, those whose lives are bound to an owner. And he's saying, you're being tortured, you're being beaten, you're in pain because of the life that you're living. But he's saying, Christ endured. He was innocent. He did no wrong. He sinned none. But yet he went through it so that your sins could be washed from you and you could be righteous. Now you be righteous too. Don't let them be justified in what they're giving you. Don't wrong. Don't curse. Don't stand out. He said, don't give them a reason to punish you, but be innocent when they do, like Christ was innocent. Peter says it's going to be a difficult road. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested, but stay faithful. And what you will find within you is pure gold. He says, what will be in you will be God, and he will be with you through all of this. Today we celebrate mothers on this day. But let's look beyond that. What is a mother called to be? Somebody that cares for another. But that title goes beyond mother, like I've said. I mean, think about it. Every single one of us has had our lives touched by a teacher or two or ten. All of us are who we are in part because of those who have taught us in a classroom and outside of it. I mean, none of us, okay, you're very lucky if you can say that you have never relied on a nurse or a doctor or a medical professional to take care of you, to help heal your wounds, to help you be whole, to take care of the spirit within you while you're enduring what you're enduring. Caregivers that have taken care of us, people that have taken on jobs and professions that help us in our walk, that care for us, provide for us, help us to be who we are. I mean, I was blessed the last 2 days. I got to be up in a church in Westlake Village for a youth ministry training. Oh man, it wasn't for me. It wasn't a training that I needed to be at. It was a lot of the basics of youth ministry. But it was a training for teams, and I took 6 young adults from this church with me that got to be trained for 2 days in youth ministry, of what it means to take that responsibility of being a mentor and a spiritual guide and a friend to youth, to teenagers that are going through some of the toughest parts of life in those years. And it was really the realization that you're a caregiver for those young people. That what God puts in front of you in those lives is a great responsibility. And how do we take that faithfully to the fullest? And we have in this church people that have taken such great responsibility to be faithful no matter what. Our prayer warriors, our caregivers, our leaders, our teachers. People who give of themselves and the world could say, why in the world do you do that? Those people don't have to be your responsibility. You're not getting paid for that. I see you. You get stressed and worried and trying to figure out how to take that time to take care of that person, to take care of that task. Why? Somebody else can do it. Take care of yourself first. Go and have time for you. But we're called to be faithful 100%. To look the world in the eyes and puff out our chest and to say that God has given me a task to take care of me, to take care of my family, to take care of those around me, and I'm going to be faithful to God 100%. Because what happens at the end of that story? What happens when Horton spends those 51 weeks sitting on that egg, but it doesn't come out a bird looking like Maisie, the one that flew away? It comes out looking like Horton, the one that made the sacrifice so it could have life. Christ made the sacrifice for us, and the life that comes out of us is the one that looks like him. You are a reflection of Christ in this world. Though pains may come, though endurance may be needed, though you might be mocked and teased, I pray that you will endure, that you will find the strength, the courage, and the patience that you need to be faithful Christians 100%. My friends, will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you were willing to come down onto this earth in human form, to walk through it in the pains of a human body, to have your heart broken, to have your back beaten, to die upon a cross for us so that we could have life and have it to the fullest. May we take up our crosses. May we be faithful to the call that you have given us. May we be able to mean what we say and to say what we mean and to be Christians that are faithful 100%. Amen.